You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks, his website RickAckerman.com. Today he's speaking to us from
South Florida, Jim. Nice day. We've been having a run of pretty good weather here lately.
Now, I'm taking a look at the market boards. Everything's down today except the price of crude, which went up $4 to 94 bucks, roughly. Is that the only thing that's predictable, crude going higher?
Well, let's not overlook Apple, which is up too. The market, for all its genius, has decided that this feature on their camera, the only innovations we see out of Apple are enhancements of the camera so that it now offers 452 features that none of us ever use or need. So Apple is up as well. But yes, crude has become the market's sole obsession. And sometimes, I think each time Trump comes out with something that purports to be clarity, it takes the market a day to figure out that Trump doesn't know. Well, he knows more than we do, but I think he tends to oversell his successes and the possibilities. So my gut feeling is that it's not going to, things are not going to smooth out in the oil markets for quite some time. But you can see that oil is very sensitive, and if there were any agreement that suggested that that the tankers moving through the strait will be safer, then crude prices would come down significantly. But each day we experience not a relief, but just really erratic ups and downs. And of course, everybody has become an expert on the crude markets and how the Houthis can't really affect the supply much, at least not America's supply, by way of their shooting at tankers in the Red Sea. So I don't know. We're looking for clarity, but it ain't going to happen anytime soon.
I was just watching an interview with somebody who said the markets probably don't understand just how important this oil squeeze is. Because it's not just oil, it's going to affect the price of food, the price of fertilizer. Apparently, you can't get out the starting fluid that helps your diesel engines get going in the morning. Things like that.
The fertilizer story has been a big one that none of us was aware of until it started making headlines in all of our major news outlets. So that's... Of course, the last thing in the world we want to hear that rising fertilizer prices are going to push food prices up any more than they already are, and just the prospect of rising inflation is unsettling of everything, particularly Trump's obsession with trying to jawbone interest rates lower. You know, it's getting more and more difficult for Powell to rationalize easing when we see all these things that suggest another round of horrific inflation is just around the bend.
Yes. How do you stop inflation? The only tool the Fed has is interest rates.
Yeah, and the interest rate front, the Fed should actually tune into Rick's Picks. I'm the only one I know who's getting it exactly right. And three or four weeks ago, when rates were kind of the rates on the 10-year were bottoming, I said, "Don't get used to it because this is going to be a low in rates," and it hit the exact low, and we're now looking at close to 4.4% on the 10-year. So that has had the effect of we're seeing mortgage rates, even though Trump would like to make homes affordable to everybody, they're not going to be very affordable at 6.43% mortgages, which I think is where the 30-year is right now, maybe even a little higher. So so things are looking awful, and it's hard to see other than some global recession. I use the word recession advisedly because things have been so pumped that we're never going to get off with a mere recession. When things finally start to slide, we're going into the big one.
I remember an interview with President Trump several years ago that he feared there would be a major recession during his second term as president. And the cause probably would be something out of his control, but he started a war with Iran. Wasn't that in his control, or were the Israelis driving the bus?
Well, you know, war is not necessarily bad for the stock market, especially on days when it was reported in such a way that we really seemed to be winning. And I guess we are in a tactical way, but there's so many other things that have been put in play by the war that the whole global economic picture has become very unsettled, if not to say unpredictable. So at this point, Trump could not credibly claim that that a slip of the global economy into recession or much worse was that he had nothing to do with it. It was forces beyond his control, because more than any other president we've seen in 100 years, he's definitely controlling things.
What is the president's ultimate goal with the war against Iran? And how do we know he's won?
I take him at his word. He'd like to disarm Iran and have them give up their nuclear weapons aspirations and return the enriched uranium to the sane world. So the regime change is, I guess, seemingly in play, at least for the pundits, every day, but not so much whether a regime change is desired. It is by pretty much everyone, except the hardcore jihadis. But it's a question of whether it's ready to happen, and whether the expatriates in Los Angeles are capable of seeing regime change through in an orderly way. No way it's going to be very orderly, but you know, as the old saying goes, you got to break eggs to make an omelet.
Right. The Israelis just announcing that they've killed the head of the Iranian Navy. Will that stop the attacks on ships in the Strait of Hormuz?
No, killing important people doesn't seem to stop much of anything. There's this idea that even the elite red the Iranian brigade are acting right now as cells. There's no central command, but even so, I guess they're able to wreak havoc because the cells themselves are probably in charge of launchers within their domain. So the war continues, and Trump definitely has not brought the mullahs to their knees.
Also, did he underestimate Iran? In their war with Iraq, Iran was recruiting 12-year-old grade 6 students to fight in the army. They would just put uniforms on them and have them charge towards the Iraqi lines until the Iraqi weapons overheated, shooting at the kids, on the unarmed kids, and then the real soldiers would attack.
Right, that sounds like Germany 1944, really.
Yeah, with the Hitler Youth.
things were looking pretty grim there, but I don't know. I guess we are dealing with a different animal in Iran. I mean, there's a level of fanaticism that didn't even exist among the German, well, certainly not within the German troops, although maybe the SS is another story. But anyway, it's everybody's looking for a tidy ending, but it just ain't happening.
We'll have more with Rick Ackerman right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rick Ackerman. Rick, in a market like this, is there anything that would faintly resemble a safe haven?
Interesting question.
Yeah.
Even people who've bought utility stocks for yield are getting hammered. And I guess cash is really your safest option now. I still think that longer term treasuries are going to be a good place to be. Typically, and this is an axiom that goes back to the beginnings of markets, you got to buy them when nobody else wants them, and certainly bonds are a promisingly unpopular choice.
Is that because people were just so used to seeing the stock market go up 20-25% every year?
Well, that wasn't going to last, really. All my friends have done really well. I guess they've gotten their expectations up to the point where 20-30% is a good year. But of course, even someone like George Soros threw in the towel on his hedge fund when he found he couldn't make a steady 8%. So, we're you have to, at some point, we're going to return to the mean, and those 20-30% returns are going to be looking like the anomalies that they are.
Will gold continue to erode?
No, I don't think so. This world is a troublesome place, and as I mentioned in my commentary, the weakness that we've seen in bullion has been pretty well orchestrated. The big players just kind of drop out of sight with their bids, and I guess you could say they're all looking to get silver down to deliver a price where the March contracts would be deliverable at high silver prices. They were all on the hook to deliver physical silver at what would amount to we see this weakness in bullion, but you have to believe that it's pretty much orchestrated, and that it's come down because people who agents who want to buy it have made a concerted effort to bring it down. So.
Is this a good opportunity to buy bullion?
I would say yes, but qualify that because even I have technical projections for lower prices, and you don't want to do too much averaging down. You reach the point where you're really if everybody were doing it, then you see the fall in gold and silver accelerate a little bit, just to essentially clear the air to shake them all out before the turn comes. So I'm paying close attention to my own paying mind, let's say, to my own technical forecasts in gold and silver, and even the rally off the last low, which was on the 23rd of March in COMEX gold, that was down around 4,100 exactly. So it didn't look like a very solid bottom to me, and I think we're going to test that. So yes, gold over the long term is in a buy, and silver as well. They're in bull markets. but I don't think the retracement is over.
With 20% of the world's crude cut off, will it take a long time to get stocks up to normal, even if the straits were opened tomorrow?
Well, getting them down to normal, I think, would be a more likely event. I do think we're in a bear market, and it's interesting the way it's made a rolling top. You know, we've been in a broad topping formation. I would have expected, and I long ago predicted this, that the market would give us some kind of spectacular high, a real spiky high, before it finally rolled over. But that's not the case. If you look at the E-mini S&Ps going back a year, you can see just the weight of a top that's been built more gradually.
Is this a good time to stock up on bonds?
Well, let me give you a very current answer. I don't track or trade the bonds that closely. I have followed rates on a 10-year, and as I mentioned, my track record for forecasting it has probably been better than anything else out there. All right, let's take a look at the June bonds, and I can give you a pretty direct answer. Really gotten hit pretty hard. We were trading up around 119 in early March when rates were making their lows, but we've come down to 112. That's a very significant a move for one of the biggest markets in the world. But we're trading currently, 112 and 28/32 on the bond futures. And what I can see is that the low has dipped beneath a target of mine at 112 and 4/32. So that indicates more weakness. And I'm going to give you an exact number here. So we're in yet another downtrending. I use ABCD patterns to forecast pretty much everything. And the key number for the June Treasury bond futures is 112 precisely. So that's where I think you should come in and try to buy. I'm currently trading 112 and 28/32. So that's that's the kind of move that could happen in 1 or 2 days. So that would be a good place to jump in. But if it doesn't hold, if you see 112 give way easily or get penetrated decisively, I think that the bonds could drop to as low as 110 and 7/32, and that would imply that long-term yields have risen above 5%, and there's no way Trump's going to talk his way around that. That's really that's an economy killer, and mortgage rates will be above around 6.43%. They're going to be up there pushing 7% or getting close to it. So at that point, you're not going to have any movement on the housing front, and there'll be probably a wider acknowledgement of the reality of recession. And the risk to repeat this is that not so much recession. I don't think we're going to be able to get by with just a recession type correction. This will be the big one.
In which case, going to cash now would give you ammunition to buy them when it won't just be buying the dip, it'll be trying to buy the bottom?
No, forget about ammunition, really. I think you want to preserve capital here. And so whatever you do shouldn't be geared to making money. It should be holding on to what you've got. So staying in short-term cash instruments, even money markets, 60, 90-day bills and things like that is the answer. And you're not really looking to make your to hit the jackpot there, but we're at a point really where preservation of capital is going to be the big trick, and not, you know, where do I put my money, where do I rotate the money so that I can continue to make good returns. Forget about good returns. Safety is everything.
I know you're not a big fan of Bitcoin, but would that keep its value if the markets go down?
I think it'll find its value, which is around $2 or $3 per Bitcoin, not a current 68,887. And I give it $3 worth of value because it does have Bitcoin. The blockchain that has built Bitcoin does have the capability of recording transactions in a secure way. So it's not absolutely worthless, but at a fundamental level, it is rubbish. And even the big guys, the big players, the so-called experts, when they give you their reasons for why Bitcoin should be worth anything, the bullet points are scarcity. To me, scarcity is not money. And nor could it ever be, given the speculative gyrations of Bitcoin. So Bitcoin is trash. And even though there are a lot of big players, that's including Trump, who see advantages in Bitcoin, it would be just one more source of money that could be printed out of nowhere, that could be inflated as in a way as gold might, except that that gold is real and Bitcoin is not. So, yeah, there are, the bankers would love to introduce Bitcoin into the system because it gives them just one more medium that they can use to rob, cheat, and steal people blind. But the fundamental premise of Bitcoin is it's a hoax.
Well, right. It's not based on anything. You and I could start a meme coin or a cryptocurrency if we wanted the Rick Jim coin.
Yeah, I don't expect it to take off either. I wouldn't say. I made a comment. One of my subscribers in the chat room was talking about shorting Carnival Cruise Lines, and I just got done reading, it was either in Bloomberg maybe or the Wall Street Journal, a story about how the cheapy cruise lines like Carnival were using influencers and content providers to gain a little bit of traction with younger, less economically abled travelers. They're going for the, not quite the teeny bopper market, but they're going for the people, young people in their 20s who are looking for cheap cruises. And the story mentioned a kid, I think maybe 16 years old, named Alex Ojeda, who has 14 million followers of posts that relate mainly to cruise lines that feature water slides. So when I look at Alex's 14 million views and I compare them to the relatively the narrow cross section of readers that I attract on your site, and I do know, you know, when we connect, I always say that it is a pleasure and an honor for me to privilege to connect with your vast audience, but I'll tell you, when you look at vast in the sense of Alex Ojeda and his 14 million viewers, you get a better sense of how the economy really works and what people are interested in.
Right, water slides.
That's exactly it. So if you want to go in the water slide business with me, sure, we'll do that. I think you just with these influencer promotions, you just need to find a niche, really. But it's interesting; you can make mistakes. In this case, one of the more upscale cruise lines was using celebrities as promoters, and they didn't get the response that they were looking for, and they realized that no one really believes that Kim Kardashian goes on Carnival cruises. So they shifted their emphasis to content providers who were people who were actually taking these cruises and getting lots of perks for it and writing glowing reviews and things and giving people ideas about how they could travel and where and all that. So so it's not a given that if you find your niche, you'll figure out a good way to exploit it. But you and I may be in the wrong business.
Yeah, we're trying to make money for people, not lose it on a long-term cruise contract.
Well, this guy who posted in my chat room had his take. It turns out he said that he was involved in some end of the cruise business, with one of the major lines, and his logic was that at $90 a barrel, that the profit margins of the cruise providers are going to be very seriously impacted. So I got sort of trapped between the two stories: the Alex Ojeda story about how younger people who never even thought about cruises before being induced to take them, but on the other side there is the high cost of fuel, and that will certainly impact cruise line margins down the road. So I guess we should be shorting the cruise lines, as this guy suggested, but my advice to him was to never do that by buying put options. And I've been trading options for 50 years, and I don't know anyone to have made any money on puts other than Craig Weisenfluh, who was a new arrival on the Pacific Exchange floor where I worked for a dozen years. And he knew nothing, and he did all the wrong things, and he wound up with a handful of puts when the market collapsed in October of 1987. But other than Craig, no one I've met or dealt with has made money on buying put options. So naked short the calls if you want in Carnival and the others, but don't think that you'll make money by buying puts, because they have already discounted whatever genius idea you have about cruise line shares falling.
Any final thoughts on the financial markets?
Well, we do seem to be rolling over, and when the market gets a little bit of momentum coming down, there's going to be nothing Trump can do, really. He's been capable of stimulating some spiky moves, but I think it really is within the context of a broad top that began quite some time ago. And we're not going to get a spectacular finish to the most spectacular bull market of all time. It looks like it's just kind of flaming out here.
Rick, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
My guest has been Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks. His website, rickackerman.com. He was speaking to us from South Florida. If you have any questions for Rick or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.